This is Luke chapter 4, continuing. Now, Jesus has been tested in the wilderness, and he didn't sin. Then Jesus returned from there to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the power of God, was with him. The news about him spread all over. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath, as usual, he went to the synagogue, which is like the place, the sort of church where the Jews worshipped. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to those in prison and recovery of sight to those who are blind, and to free the oppressed, and to pronounce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it to the attendant and sat down, and all the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on Jesus as he told them, "This day, this scripture has been fulfilled before you." That is, he was the person that Isaiah was talking about. They all marveled at the gracious words that he spoke, and they said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I'm sure you'll quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You'll also tell me to do here the things which you've heard were done in Capernaum. But I tell you this, a prophet is never without honour, except in his own town." Now, the wonderful thing was that Jesus had lived until 30 years old, never sinned, always did the right thing, and no one ever really noticed that he was something really special. When he stands up and basically says, "I'm the Messiah," they're like, "No, you can't be. You're the son of Joseph. We know you. You're the village carpenter." And whenever we try to be a little bit more righteous than the people around us, they all tend to think, "Oh, you're trying to be religious, or you think you're better than us." But the character of Jesus was so beautiful that he was perfect, but nobody really noticed. And I really think that's wonderful. Then Jesus said, "In the time of Elisha and Elijah, there were many widows, and there was no rain for 3.5 years, and there was a great famine throughout the whole land. But Elijah was not sent to any of them, apart from to a widow living in Zarephath, which is near Sidon. That is, she was a Gentile. There were many people suffering from leprosy in Israel during the time of Elisha, but not one of them was healed apart from Naaman the Syrian." So when the little Hebrew girl said to Naaman's wife, "I know there's a prophet in Israel who could cure him of his leprosy," it wasn't because she'd seen Elisha curing anybody. She had absolute faith. And because of her faith, and you see how God loves using little people, because of the faith of that girl, Naaman went all the way to Israel with all the wealth that he took with him, and eventually he got cured of his leprosy by dipping in the River Jordan, and he turned to worship the true God of Israel. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they became angry, so angry that they dragged Jesus to the edge of their town, took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built, and were going to throw him over the cliff. But he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. So you see, when people's conscience is touched, when they realize that you're actually saying the truth about Jesus Christ, they often get angry, and that's what happened. They wanted to kill him. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, and he taught the people on the Sabbath day. They were amazed of the way that he spoke, because he spoke with authority. He was, of course, the Son of God. When he spoke the words of God, you knew that he really was serious. In the synagogue, there was a man who had a demon. Now, demons don't really exist, but the people described illnesses which they couldn't explain by saying that, "Oh yeah, the person's got demons." And so when somebody was cured of the illness, they thought the demons had left them. Well, this man was screaming And he said, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you for who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Be quiet and come out of the man." The demon threw the man down in front of them and left him without doing him any harm. And the people were amazed, saying, "What kind of words are these? With authority and power, this man gives orders to the demons and they obey him." And the news about Jesus spread everywhere. Jesus left the synagogue and went to Simon's house. But Simon's mother-in-law, that is the mother of his wife, was sick with a very bad fever, and they spoke to Jesus about her. And Jesus went and stood by her at the bed and ordered the fever to leave her. And the fever left her, and she got up at once and began to serve them. So that's what you do when you are cured. When God has blessed you in your life, you use that blessing to serve. When the sun was set, that is when the Sabbath was finished, all those who had relatives or friends who were sick with all kinds of diseases came to Jesus with them. He put his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons went out from many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." I think this thing about demon possession, these people were mentally ill. But a lot of those mentally ill people are very sensitive and they understand things that maybe others don't. Or they cotton on more quickly than others do. And these mentally ill people realized that Jesus was the Son of God. As the sun was rising, Jesus left the town and went off to a lonely place. Everyone started looking for him. When they found him, they tried to stop him leaving, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to other cities also, because therefore I have been sent." So you can imagine them looking for Jesus. Where is he? Where is he? And he'd got up early in the morning to go out and pray in a lonely place. And you can imagine them looking around for him, and then they see him hidden in a bush, kneeling down, praying to God. It just shows how important it was to Jesus to get alone and to be alone with God in prayer, even if it means getting up really early before everybody else does. And that's a real pattern for all of us.